Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets you to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new week of Tribe Time Sports. Here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you as we start off a brand new week. We also have Travis Anderson along with us in the studio. Monday edition of the show, and I'll tell you, we have two guests lined up to join us. It's going to be a fun one. It's June, and we're not that far off from football, as crazy as that sounds. We're about 2 months away from the high school football season kicking off here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. So today, we're going to catch up with Coach John Famallo with the Emory Spartan football squad. We'll get a timetable set up on what the offseason looks like for the Spartans as they continue to march towards opening kickoff. Again, that's on August 18th is when they open up the season. Also today, we'll catch up with James Holis of bballbreakdown.com. I love getting James on the show. He's a very unique personality, and we'll break down Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Travis, we can start by talking about the NBA Finals. I'll say this. I don't know what there is to talk about as far as X's and O's. At the beginning of the series, I predicted Golden State in 5, and I may have overshot that mark. I mean, if they win Game 3, it's over in 4. I mean, Cleveland is on their last leg, and the kicker, LeBron James, is playing pretty good basketball, and it just doesn't seem to matter.
They don't play defense. And this has been the story with Cleveland all season long, is they've been pretty terrible on the defensive end of the floor. Now, regardless, Steph Curry's pulling up in the coach's box and launching threes. There's nothing you can do about that. But they're giving up a lot of layups, a lot of transition points. And it's been the story with Cleveland all year. You can cakewalk through the Eastern Conference because it's not very good, but their defense hasn't been good all year anyways.
No, but it hasn't. And I think Tyronn Lue tried to change things up a bit in Game 2. He wanted to run. And if you watch the game, you kept seeing the huddles where Tyronn Lue would tell the Cavaliers squad, keep running, but take care of the basketball. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, to run against this Golden State team. Now, we'll break down the numbers a little bit later on in the show. Statistically speaking, Cleveland is at their best when they are running. But I'll tell you the problem with that statistic. And I say this about statistics all the time. I love analytics, don't get me wrong. But there's always variables in season-wide statistics. It may be okay to run, and push the tempo and the possessions up over 108 per 48 minutes when you're playing the likes of Toronto and Boston and Indiana and Washington. But when you're going up against a team that is so well-rounded as Golden State, it just doesn't work. And in my mind, the only way Cleveland has a chance to win a game in this series, forget about them winning the series, that's not going to happen. They say never say never. I'll stand right here and I'll tell you, they are not going to win this series. They were never going to win this series. But if they want to win a game, I still believe you have to go to the half-court set and you have to let LeBron be LeBron. You have to. This guy's got to shoot the ball like 40 times a game. He has to single-handedly attempt to take over this contest. Big difference is, you could do that last year because it was Harrison Barnes. It wasn't Kevin Durant. It's not going to happen in this series. And honestly, it's not compelling basketball. It's not. Because at no point in time has Golden State ever even been tested. Do you forget? I don't know if people realize this. They haven't lost a game in the postseason. Like, that storyline has kind of faded away. They have won 14 consecutive playoff games, and they have done it with relative ease.
Yeah, they've breezed through the playoffs, and they have probably the best player in basketball right now in Kevin Durant. He's playing unbelievable. And when you have Steph Curry doing what he's doing, Klay Thompson finally got it going last night as well, you're not beating that team. And you can see the look on LeBron's face. He looks like a man that knows that his team cannot beat that team.
Well, yeah, and it's evident with his post-game conference as well. he gets salty when he starts losing, and he knows it's just the inevitable at this point. I do believe Cleveland has a great chance to get Game 3.
That's about it.
That's it. There's no way they win the series. It would take something miraculous to happen. This Golden State team is just that good. I mean, they make good or great teams look very average, and that's what they have done so far. Let's take a look at some of the other headlines circulating around the national sports scene. There was talk over the weekend that the Seattle Seahawks could add Colin Kaepernick, and that pretty much is not going to happen now because Seattle has announced today that they have signed Austin Davis. You may remember that name here in the state of Utah because he did have a quick stint with the Denver Broncos. He did start a couple of games for the St. Louis Rams, and then he went on to the Cleveland Browns. But he has been a below-average quarterback his entire NFL career. And Seattle viewed him as a better option, apparently, for their current situation than Colin Kaepernick, which means Kaepernick is still without a team, and I think he will be for the foreseeable future. I'm sitting here trying to think of a team that could sign Kaepernick.
And there's none I can think of.
There really isn't. The only team, well, there's two. And I'm going to go to the AFC with this. Maybe Indianapolis, because Scott Tolzien is the only logical quarterback they have, you know, to back up Andrew Luck, who has had a history of injury problems because that offensive line is terrible. I still think your New York Jets should take a risk on him because they have nothing at the quarterback position. They even lost Ryan Fitzpatrick. They have nothing there.
Yeah. And that makes it weird that they went out and signed who they signed. The guy from Cleveland, can't think of his name at the top of my mouth right now. But Kaepernick's better than him. I mean, they have
maybe
Hackenberg on their roster and Bryce Petty.
I mean, maybe. Is he worth the maintenance that you're going to get with Kaepernick? I think that's why a lot of the teams...
He's better than most of the backups, though. That's the thing. I mean, he's better than Austin Davis, and look at that.
I think he's better than Austin Davis, but Austin Davis ultimately will be a third-string quarterback. And so the Seahawks basically are saying he's overqualified for what they need. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's a nice way of saying, we don't want to hire you. That's
crazy.
What that's saying.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We'll take a look at the matchups in Major League Baseball. 5:10 start time tonight. The Cardinals will take on the Reds. We also get the Phillies at the Braves. San Francisco will travel to Milwaukee. 6 o'clock hour, the Marlins on the road to take on the Chicago Cubs. We get Houston at Kansas City. Nightcap tonight, ESPN contest. Gio Gonzalez will take them out against Ryu. It's Washington and the Dodgers, two of the top teams in the National League doing battle. Nightcap tonight, non-interleague matchup. It's Toronto going up against Oakland. So that's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports scene. Again, it's Drive Time Sports Monday edition of the show. We're going to have Coach John Famalo. That's coming up here in just a moment, as well as James Holis to break down Game 2 of the NBA Finals. We're back after this.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead with Castle Valley Orthodontics. I recently took over Dr. Broadwater's orthodontic practice here in Price. I'm excited to work with the patients and community here in Carbon and Emery County. We provide orthodontic treatment for children, teenagers, and adults, and also offer Invisalign, the clear alternative to braces. My passion is creating beautiful smiles one person at a time. Call us today for your free smile assessment at 637-2222.
Many people believe baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter very much. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience for children. Call today and get your child on the road to good dental health. For appointments, call 637-9590.
You want to retire someday, but banking on the market to fund your retirement can be risky. Farm Bureau agents Richard Hackwell and Billy Vigor in Price can help you lock in solid gains and never lose money. Make sure the market doesn't break your bank. Call Farm Bureau agents Richard Hackwell and Billy Vigor today and protect yourself from downside risk. Surrender of the contract may be subject to surrender charges. Withdrawals before age 59 and a half may result in 10% IRS penalty tax. Additionally, there's a charge for a simple 7-income rider once it's activated. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Helper American Legion baseball season got off on the right foot for Helper as they topped St. George Friday at home by a final score of 5-2. Helper got out to an early 5-0 lead, and despite a miniature run by St. George, found a way to hold on for the Southern Division win in the season opener. With the opening league game now in the books, Helper will prepare to travel to Burley, Idaho for a 4-game-in-3-day stint beginning this Thursday. Helper will take on Minico, Burley, Pocatello, and Bishop Kelly. It is an annual trip that the team makes. Following the trip to Idaho, Helper will return home on Monday, June 12th, as they play host to Roosevelt in doubleheader action. The first contest is set for 6 p.m. The second will be at 8. Following that contest, Helper will travel for a lengthy road trip with their next home game taking place 15 days later on June 27th. You can get a complete schedule for this season by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Saturday, Fierce Fighting Championship played host to their fifth card overall and their fourth in the Castle Country with Redemption. In front of a terrific crowd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center, local fighter Mike Jones climbed to 5-3 in his professional career as he earned a first-round TKO over Ben Robinson, who dipped to 5-4. The win for Jones stops a two-fight losing skid. In the co-main event, Jordan Chandler topped local fighter Cy Nelson by a TKO, also in the first round. The loss is Nelson's first of his professional career, while Jordan Chandler improved to 13-12. Some of the other main features on the card included a first-round TKO for Nate Kersley as he defeated Nephi McQuivy. Hank Wise defeated Chris Gomez by submission in the first of three rounds. It was Mitch Ramirez grabbing a majority decision over Julian Ruiz. Thomas Harper topped Michael Gomez with a first-round TKO. Domenico Salas topped Josh Remington with retirement after the first round. It was Asia Negron defeating Crystal Anderson by a doctor stoppage at the end of the first round. And in the first fight of the night, Alden Ashcraft defeated Sean Pollock by a first-round TKO. We'll talk more about Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption throughout the week here on KOAL. The next card is scheduled for September 30th. This particular card will take place in Tooele. A reminder that the Spencer's Wishes Swing True for Life Baseball Clinic, in conjunction with Major League Baseball's Play Ball Initiative, will take place this Saturday at Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake City, home of the Salt Lake Bees. This year's format for the clinic has a little bit of a different format, as Spencer's Wishes is now teaming up with Major League Baseball. The participation list is only open to the first 75 children who register in the Castle Country. Now, the cost is free. However, there are only two spots remaining, as the clinic is now less than 1 week away. Recently on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Phil Roundy, president of Spencer's Wishes, and he talked about the event.
There are 30 venues around the United States on June 10th that are going to conduct a play ball clinic event. And every one of them but one is a Major League Baseball park. The one that is not is the Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake City.
Again, if your child is interested in participating in this event, the hard cap has been set at 75 kids and only two spots remain. You can find more information on the Spencer's Wishes Clinic by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com, and you can also listen to past interviews and shows from KOAL's Drive Time Sports. Again, that's at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Remember growing up and spending those summer days at the park? Summer picnics were always accompanied with some juicy chicken from KFC. At KFC, the Colonel's secret recipe is still going strong, and their $20 fill-up meal has got your picnic covered. That's right, just $20 will feed your family well with 8 pieces of chicken, a large coleslaw, 2 large bowls of mashed potatoes and gravy, and 4 biscuits. Grab your kids a blanket and a $20 fill-up meal, and let the summer picnic tradition continue with the help of KFC.
For over 50 years, News Talk KOAL's Barter Bar has helped listeners buy, sell, and trade from everyday common items to the unusual. You'll hear it on Barter Bar. Holding a yard sale? Looking for furniture? Or want to trade your car? Put it on Barter Bar, online and on air. Barter Bar, a Castle Country tradition. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions. And only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
How about some football talk here on the Coach's Corner? You know, we're not that far off from high school, college, and professional. It's really coming up close. In fact, we're just over 2 months away from the start of the high school football season. And, of course, you'll be able to follow Emory High School all year long right here on KOAL. First game of the year is Friday, August 18th. Emory will travel on the road to meet the Richfield Wildcats. Now, Emory will also open up weightlifting practice tomorrow, June 17th. They will travel to Manti for a 7-on-7, and then in July they'll go to Millard for a week-long camp. We're going to talk right now about all that and more with Coach John Famalo, who is joining us over the telephone. Coach, seems like it's been forever since we've talked to you on air, but football season's right around the corner, so I appreciate you taking the time to come on today.
I appreciate you having me. Like you say, it's coming quick. Seems like it's been a long time, but all the spring and prep, it doesn't seem like it ever goes away, but it comes quicker than you expect it to.
Yeah, it definitely does, Coach. And this is the first off season where you knew going into it that you were going to be the head coach. I mean, past winter sports season and everything, I know last year around April we were talking about you getting the head coaching job. So how much easier does that make it, having literally a full off season now to kind of implement what you want to do this year?
It's a lot better. I mean, so far as the off season, the expectations of the kids, and then just for me, just planning wise and our coaching staff, it's been a whole lot better. Honestly, just the logistical parts of it all, the other things behind the scenes that you didn't know about that you're kind of aware of now, and the things that you got to get prepped for and just kind of get out of the way. I think that was the eye opener to me and kind of got a lot of that stuff taken care of prior. So hopefully just get the coaching and the fun part of it.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the season in general here in just a bit, Coach. But let's start by talking about the coaching staff. First off, you guys have one change this year. Now, one of the things that I think is always so terrific about Emory High School, you guys have done a great job of having the same coaches around year in and year out. I mean, going back to when you were assistant, that was the case. And pretty much the same thing, just one change this year.
Yeah, so we'll lose Coach Labrum. He's had some commitments some other ways, and so, we'll probably still see him on the sideline and help us with the medical stuff, but, it's going to be a big loss to our coaching staff. He's been there a lot longer than I have and, familiar with the kids and, just a good guy to have around, good with the kids and just a great motivator, and so we'll miss him, so we're going to be picking up Jay Howard. He's got a freshman son that'll be coming into the program, so look forward to him helping out and adding to our, our program, be working probably with the younger kids. But same time, anytime you add a coaching staff, it's, it's a little bit different, but at the same time, we still got a lot of continuity with the same guys with, Coach Justice and Wilson and Mortensen and as well as Scott Stilson. So I say hopefully we can continue to move forward and, I will miss him, but life goes on and coaching continues to go. So it's kind of how it goes.
Well, as far as the off-season workouts go, you guys actually will begin summer practices tomorrow. And I know that leads up to a 7-on-7 in Manti, and then you guys will have the week-long practice in Millard. So you can go ahead and give us a timeline, Coach, of what it looks like right now for this football team.
Yeah, so we start our weights program, our summer weights program, start tomorrow. We'll start at 6 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll have weights. So we'll try to get as many kids out to that. And then we have a Wednesday night practice, 8 in the evening, kind of go through a lot of speed and agility, 7-on-7, just a lot of technical type things. That's what we'll be working on. So hopefully we can get a lot of kids out to that on the evening practice as well. So it's kind of how it lays out. And like you say, it leads up to our Manti 7-on-7 camp in Manti and then our week-long camp in Millard. So that's kind of where we're at. Just trying to get the kids geared up and excited about football. And, we lost a lot of kids, and so got to get many more into this program and get going. And so it's kind of where things stand.
Yeah, you guys did lose a lot of seniors last season. So with that being said, have you been happy with the turnout that you have had from underclassmen this year?
It's been kind of a hard transition because we still have those ninth graders in the junior high program. So the spring programs that we ran, was kind of tough for those kids to participate. So I didn't get as many kids, with the freshmen that I was hoping. But I think with that transition next year with those kids, the ninth graders going to be there in the system, I think that transition will be a whole lot better. And hopefully we'll get a better idea of the kids we have coming in and the talent and things like that. But honestly, right now we're still trying to gauge who's coming in so far as the freshmen, and so that's kind of been still up in the air for me as to who's all really going to be here so far as freshmen.
Again, our guest right now is Coach John Fumalo of the Emory Sport and Football Squad. Coach, the 7-on-7 camp, June 17. 7-on-7s are so interesting. I think if you talk to 10 coaches, you'd probably get 10 different answers on what they actually take away from a 7-on-7 camp. Obviously, there's no linemen, but it is a terrific opportunity for you to see what your quarterback has. The wide receivers can showcase their speed, their route running. I mean, there's a lot of positives, I guess, you can take away from a 7-on-7 from a skill position standpoint. So what do you look for as a head coach?
For me, honestly, I'm just looking for competitiveness. I mean, with being a young team, you know, we got to be able to compete. And so whether we got younger kids or seniors, you know, a lot of kids with not very much varsity experience. So I'm looking for some kids that want to just compete. You know, I think that's a big part of football. I think sometimes you take into account all these measurables of how fast this kid is and, you know, how big he is. But, you know, bottom line is I need a kid to compete. It's going to work hard and put in the time and effort. And, you know, that's what I'm looking for at 7-on-7. Certainly there's some things, you know, we like to see so far as, you know, routes and what our quarterback's going to do and, you know, performances that way. But, you know, I'm hoping at the end of the day I can find, you know, at least 7 to 10 kids that want to compete and want to, you know, put it all out on the field when the time comes.
So the skill position kids get an opportunity with the 7-on-7. What about the linemen? What do you try to do here in this month, Coach, to get them moving?
Again, there is a lineman challenge, and that's what I'm hoping. I'm challenging these kids at the same time on the 17th. There is a lineman challenge. Hopefully we can get a group of boys to come down there and compete there. But, I mean, that Wednesday night practice, we're going to work a lot on technique and then just getting in the weight room on those Tuesdays and Thursdays. You know, the linemen, that's what we need to do is just build strength. And, you know, we're not going to be the biggest team. We had a lot of size last year. We're not going to be the biggest team on the line. But, you know, if we have some hard-nosed kids that want to stick their nose in there and make some things happen, that's, you know, that's what we want to work with our linemen as well as technique. A lot of different things that we'd like to do with the linemen, you know, on Wednesday nights to just kind of help with their footwork. And, you know, like I say, we're not going to be the biggest, but if we can get to our spots quick and get on people, that makes a big difference on moving the ball and kind of getting moving forward. So,
does that lack of size up front, does it change what you want to accomplish as far as previous schemes, or is it going to be pretty much the same this year?
We'll change some things up. I think we'll have to scheme a little bit different for the fact that we don't have that size. We'll have to use, you know, a little bit smaller kids, but I think, you know, there are going to be some hard-nosed kids that are going to be quick, you know, and I think you can use some advantages that way to be able to get on blocks, get on people, and kind of just get in the way, you know, and then hopefully your skilled players can make some moves. And so, I mean, I think the game scheme changes a little bit. You know, we ran a little bit of power out of that eye and, you know, some of that jet motion stuff, like, that helped with misdirection. And so you'll see a lot of the same things, but at the same time, we're trying to move some things around to change it up a little bit.
As we move into the month of July, you guys have a week-long camp at Millard. I've talked to some kids in the past, and they've said, you know, if you're not doing what you need to do throughout the summer, that's a hell week when you go to a camp like that.
It is. It's tough for the kids. If you're not coming to weights and, you know, participating, I mean, not only, you know, just physically to be able to, you know, handle the rigors of it, but just the stuff that we've put in, you know, prior to that, the plays and other things, I mean, just there's a bit of a learning curve there. And if you haven't attended practice prior to that, it makes it a little bit tougher. But at the same time, like I say, it's a little bit different. I mean, the weather's hot. That's one thing, you know, the High School Athletic Association's try to put in a heat acclimation, stuff that we've got to do prior to that camp. I don't know if the kids have to participate in or they won't be able to do full pads. And so there's a lot leading up to that than just the camp itself. But the camp can be a little bit tough for kids if they're not, you know, physically ready for that.
Definitely don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves and start talking about the season, but we did recently talk to Coach Huntsman of Carbon High School, and he did mention some of the changes to the schedule this year as far as the final game of the regular season and what that actually is going to count towards. Coach, last year it was one of those inter-region battles where you would see an opposing team from the South, but it was an exhibition game at the same time. That's not going to be the case this year now, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, the two top seeds are kind of, you know, a bye situations, but I mean, we're honestly playing the opposites, JVs. I mean, it's a little bit different. But at the same time, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle for us, depending on where we end up in seeding, because I know we're going to have a lot of JV-type kids, you know, from last year. They're going to be playing varsity ball that, you know, it's going to make it tougher to play a JV and a freshman, you know, like we would normally do on that bye week of prior to the playoffs. So, you know, I think there's some advantages, and but at the same time, just depending on where you end up. So, fighting for those two top spots, you know, those are the coveted positions, and you know, we got our work cut out for us to get to the playoffs. And but at the same time, you're going to be in the playoffs there, semi, you know, that Thursday game where a 3 is playing a 6 and a 4 is playing a 5. But you know, like I say, it's different. But you know, we'll have to see how it all shakes up.
Were you a proponent of that change, Coach?
I was, for the fact that, you know, it gives everybody an opportunity to play in the playoffs. And again, it gives some strength of schedule type things where the 1 and 2, you know, get that bye, and, you know, you got a 3, 6, 4, 5, where maybe if you have a stronger region, you know, where your 3s and 4s might be just as good as, you know, maybe a 1 and 2, they can still move on. So, you know, I can see some things there, but like I say, at the end of the day, it's, you know, we got a lot of work to, you know, even so, say you get in there, you still got a lot of work to do to be able to advance. So, I see some advantages, but like I say, that 1 and 2 makes it a little bit tougher for the fact that, you know, you may have a little while before you play, you know, that game, that quarterfinal game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely an interesting twerk, I guess we could say, to throw into the equation for sure. Coach, it's always fun to get you on and talk some Emory football. I'm definitely excited that the season is close enough where we can start talking again on air. So I appreciate you making out the time today.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. I appreciate, again, everything you're doing for our program and getting the word out to the kids and what's going on. And so it means a great deal to us and to our program and especially the kids.
Well, it's my pleasure, Coach. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Always fun to start talking some high school football here on Drive Time Sports. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we'll talk NBA basketball. Last night, the Warriors take a commanding 2-0 lead in the series. A lot of pressure on Game 3 for Cleveland. I think the series is over, but I think it's over. I know it's over if Cleveland loses Game 3. We'll talk some NBA basketball right after this. Plus, give you a NASCAR update. It's Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Have you ever wanted to give your dad an atomic wedgie?
Hey! Not a wedgie, a golf wedge from TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club.
Get your dad the wedge he's always dreamed of, and you can be his favorite child once again.
You can't promise people that.
Well, sure I can. When kids buy their dad's new wedge at TK's Pro Shop, not only will they get a great price, but they'll be helping dad be a better golfer.
A better golfer?
Yeah, dad will have more confidence in his game.
Just tell him to get to TK's.
Get to TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club for the best Father's Day wedgies.
Tis the season to get out and adventure. Getting outdoors to enjoy camping and boating requires a reliable truck to get you there. At Desert View Federal Credit Union, they have the loan you need at a rate you want so you can pull all of your toys with ease this summer. With Desert View Federal Credit Union, the loan process is quick and simple. Stop by a branch today for a quick pre-approval, then tell the dealership you're financing through Desert View Federal Credit Union. Desert View Federal Credit Union, your first stop for summer adventure. Find them in Huntington and Farron. Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
In 1981, Drew Leroy opened the original 3,000-square-foot Food Ranch. Today, Food Ranch has grown to over 21,000 square feet, along with a full hot deli, bakery, meat shop, and racquetball court. But the area Drew is most proud of is the Spartans Den. This is where the kids from Emory High can hang out and have lunch or just sit and talk. This just reinforces Drew's commitment to the families of Emory County. Food Ranch would like to thank you for your continued support for years to come.
4, 3, 2, 1. Gentlemen, start your engines.
It's now time for a NASCAR's update. And Sunday on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Jimmy Johnson earned his 83rd career NASCAR Cup Series win, tying Cale Yarborough for 6th all-time as he topped Kyle Larson and Martin Truex Jr. for the checkered flag at Dover International Speedway, winning the AAA 400 Drive for Autism. Johnson's Hendrick Motorsports number 48 Chevrolet took the checkered flag under caution as a multi-car crash ended the race on its lone overtime attempt. The win for Johnson was miraculous considering he had to start from the back of the pack after his team made an unapproved pre-race gear change on the number 48 car, but he rallied late to grab the win. The final restart denied Larson, who had led six times for a race-high 241 laps, but was saddled with second place. A yellow flag for David Ragan's crash with four laps left in regulation erased Larson's lead late, bunching up the field and eventually sending the race six laps past its scheduled 400-lap distance. The current point standing leader, Martin Truex Jr., led 102 laps and finished third, while Ryan Newman and Chase Elliott completed the top five. Following the victory, Jimmy Johnson talked about the miraculous win and the great luck he has had at Dover.
This is a good one for us, and I've always been better at passing people. I think, you know, our stats from qualifying versus race wins really show that, and it's frustrating. We live in an environment where qualifying needs to be a priority, and we need better pit stall picks, but you put that rabbit out in front of me, and I'll chase it down. So it's just the way I've always been.
Johnson continued by talking about the importance of the victory standing-wise.
The root of our opportunities to win have been Chad's aggressive calls, and you know, the fact that we've won a couple races gives him the freedom to really swing hard and take chances. And we stayed out on the track when others hit pit road in the later stages of this race, and that really turned out well for us.
Second place finisher Kyle Larson talked about what went wrong in the restart as he finished second behind Johnson.
Good race for us. Obviously, I didn't need that last caution. And, yeah, I mean, Jimmy's the best of our time, probably the best of all time. So he just has obviously a lot more experience than I do, you know, on the front row late in races, and you know, executed a lot better than I did. So I got to get better at that and maybe get some more wins.
Martin Truex Jr. also gave comment on his third place finish.
Well, you know, for us, it was the end of the race was really all about just trying to pass cars and get back to the front where we'd been all day long. You know, we got caught on that caution there with, I don't know, 60 or so laps ago, and we pitted, caution came out, got trapped a lap down, had to do the wave around, and then drive up through the field from the back. So definitely proud of our finish today. I thought we definitely had a shot at the win until that happened. And, you know, after that, it was just we were kind of playing catch up. And, you know, a place that's really difficult to pass, we'd come from about 15th to get to third. So definitely proud of the run, proud of the effort, and the car the guys brought here today. Wish we could have had a little better shot at it towards the end there, but, you know, all in all, third is a decent day with two stage wins.
We take a look at the current NASCAR standings, and Jimmy Johnson leads the way with wins. He has three so far this season, followed by Truex Jr. and Brad Keselowski. Point-wise right now, as the NASCAR season continues to move forward, Truex Jr. has 545 points, which is nine better than second-place Kyle Larson. Kevin Harvick is in third, Kyle Busch fourth, Jamie McMurray fifth, Jimmy Johnson sixth, Brad Keselowski seventh, Chase Elliott is eighth, Denny Hamlin and Clint Bowyer round out the top ten. The NASCAR Monster Energy Cup racing season will continue this Sunday as MRN will bring you more racing action beginning at 1 p.m. Remember to continue to follow NASCAR Monster Energy Cup racing all year long on 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL. Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 North.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff of the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk some NBA basketball. Last night, the Golden State Warriors pulled away for a 132-113 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They now have a commanding 2-0 lead in the series, but now we shift to Cleveland. And this may just be the time where Cleveland could make it interesting. At least that's what we're hoping for in a Game 3. Otherwise, it looks like this series is going to be over right out of the gate. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that and more, we have James Holis of bballbreakdown.com, also known as Snotty Drippin' on Twitter. Always a pleasure to get you on, James. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we always look forward to it. You definitely bring a great conversation to the table, and we're going to dive right into it. Conventional wisdom says do not get in a track meet with the Golden State Warriors. However, that's exactly what Tyronn Lue did last night. In fact, during this game, you can hear him throughout the contest, anytime they go to a coach's huddle, telling the team, play fast, play faster, but take care of the basketball. Tell me, is that the right idea? Is that how Cleveland pulls off an upset in the series?
That's like telling a young boxer, yeah, go ahead toe-to-toe and slug it out with Mike Tyson. Right? I mean, in theory, it sounds great, but why would you try to take an expert out, take an expert on in doing what they do best? And I think by the second half, you saw that Cleveland kind of got gassed. I think that's affecting Tristan Thompson's effectiveness. He needs a slower style. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers in general operate better at a slower style, so speeding it up against a team that likes to play fast is not really a good look. So that's pretty much a tactical error, I think, by Tyronn Lue.
I agree 100%. And Kevin Durant said post-game that, yes, he could definitely sense Cleveland was running a little bit faster. But then you take a look at the statistics in this game. The Cavs have been better when playing with tempo throughout not only the postseason, James, but pretty much throughout the entire year. There are two worst games in the postseason this year. Game one against the Pacers, that was a game, if the listeners can remember, Indiana had a chance to win right at the end. C.J. Miles missed a three-point shot. I believe it was like 91 possessions is what the pace was set for, 48 minutes in that one. Game three, they lost to Boston, 92 possessions. So in games throughout the regular season, when they were playing at a pace of 96 possessions or less, they were 11-12. So in theory, yes, Tyronn Lue may be right. However, we're comparing apples to oranges, right? If we're looking at the competition they were playing in the regular season and the postseason up to this point, it's really, there's too many fallacies in that theory, right?
And yeah, that's bringing up what you just said about how the competition is so much different. The Warriors are just a different animal than anything else Cleveland's seen. People were saying how they figured out the defense. Well, they played the Pacers, which I think they were 16th ranked offense this year. Then they played the Toronto Raptors, who have two guards who like to go ISO, and they lost one of their guards who like to ISO. So that wasn't like a great offensive team they were playing. And then they played the Boston Celtics, who lost Isaiah Thomas, halfway through game two. So they were playing a challenged Boston Celtics team. So sure, you think they figured out because of their defensive rating looked great in the playoffs, them being the Cavs, but now they're playing the best offense in the league, one of the most historic offenses of all time. And all those same problems around their heads. Sloppy rotations, undisciplined closing out, not max effort, they lose focus. And it's, you know, the Warriors are just, every time they make a mistake, the Warriors are just killing them. So it is what it is, man.
As far as the Golden State Warriors go, I think one of the storylines, at least for me, one of the most interesting storylines going into the series was the fact that Klay Thompson had not shot over 50% since Game 4 against the Utah Jazz. Now, I know that had only been four games. He didn't shoot over 50% in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, but he was very good last night. Finishes 8 of 12, 4 of 7 from downtown. Plus 24 Golden State was with Klay Thompson out on the court. When Klay is shooting at that high of a percentage, and you mix in Kevin Durant, who again was 13 of 22, I don't think he has to work for a lot of his shots. Steph Curry was 7 of 17. He played terrific last night. When Klay is that good, this is a near impossible team to beat.
And that's what it comes down to. We can talk X's and O's all we want to, and a lot of analysts are talking about what does Ty Lue have to do. He's playing against two MVP caliber players and then two other All-Stars who all mesh very well together, whose skills are very complementary of each other. And I think it boils down to they signed Kevin Durant. There's nothing really Tyronn Lue can do in the next few games to change that. I think the Cavs need an infusion of talent in a big way, and I have no idea how they get it because I know they're pretty much capped out. And, you know, they're very top-heavy with those three guys and a bunch of role players. So I have no clue how they do it, but as constructed, I don't see any way they can figure out a way to push Golden State.
Again, our guest right now is James Holis of bballbreakdown.com. James, we'll talk more about your work here in just a moment, but let's stick with the Cleveland Cavaliers for a second. We'll talk about LeBron James. Last night he had a triple-double going into the fourth quarter. LeBron was very efficient, 12 of 18, 29 points. 14 assists, 11 boards. I said going into the series, LeBron could average 40, 15, and 10, and I still don't think Cleveland is going to win this series. As far as the production goes outside of LeBron, it hasn't been poor, but the bench has not been very good, and that obviously is a factor as well.
I was looking at this today, and Irving and Love aren't the problem. They're combining for almost 42 points a game. They're shooting decently. I think they're like 42, 43% from the floor. They're making their threes. The main problem is, so between LeBron's 28, Irving and Love averaging about 42, so we're at like 70 points right there. Well, the next six Cavs combined are averaging 30 points per game together. That's just not going to cut it. They're not getting anything from their bench and from their other guys right now. JR is averaging less than 2 points a game. So, it's the top three production is fine. You're not getting anything from anyone else, and that's largely in part. We got to give Golden State credit. They're switching everything. They're long. They're active on defense. They're disciplined. They're rotating well. They're not giving up open threes. And it's really just it's putting a damper on what the Cavs want to do.
I thought that Tristan Thompson would be an X factor in this series because I thought if he could establish the glass, if he could actually have his way on the glass and limit Golden State to one shot and really clean up on the offensive glass, I thought that Cleveland could make things somewhat interesting in a couple of games. But we go to game two last night, 21 minutes. Tristan Thompson had four rebounds, two offensive and two defensive rebounds. What have you noticed in this regard? What has Golden State done to keep him off the glass, particularly last night in this game?
I think they're dedicating themselves to sending two people at him every time a shot goes up for Golden State. I mean, I'm sorry, for the Cavs. Every time somebody from the Cavs shoots, they're sending two people to bracket Tristan Thompson and really dedicate themselves to keeping him off the boards. And it's working to perfection. Kevin Love has been feasting on the boards. He's been pretty good. But Tristan Thompson, the guy who really crashes on offensive boards and gets those guys extra looks and extra possessions and really wears down a team like Golden State, they're just not letting him do it. They're really focused. And I think people underestimated exactly how long and strong Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are. Hey, Tristan Thompson just needs to, Tristan Thompson can dominate the boards. Well, Draymond's no pushover, and Kevin Durant's showing that, as we saw when he took a Kevin Love post up and stuffed him on the jump hook. We think he's a thin guy, but he's proven himself that he's filled out a little bit, and he has the guts to stick in there against the physical players. So the thing that everyone thought the Cavs would have a great advantage of, size with Love and Tristan Thompson, Golden State's not hearing it, and they're going toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, and really, I mean, again, you pointed this out. We can talk about X's and O's all day, but at the end of the day, Golden State is just much better, and I think a pretty clear indication on that statistic. You go back to game one. Golden State took care of the basketball like I could not believe. They had four turnovers in that contest. And I remember thinking to myself, there's no way that they could keep that pace up. If they do, it's going to be a quick, quick series. Now we fast forward to game two, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that Cleveland did push the tempo. But still, that turnover number increased by 16 for Golden State, and they still won by 19 points in this game.
Yeah, it's never in history have we had a team that was this far and away better than the next closest team. And I'll say it, against any other team in the league, 28 other teams, I will take the Cavaliers and LeBron James in the series. That's be it San Antonio, the Clippers, whoever. I'm going to say, LeBron James on the team, they got a 70% chance to win the series. And the Warriors are just beating them like a rented drum right now. And we've never seen this before. We've never seen anything like this. No matter what the Cavs do, the Warriors have a counter, and not just a counter. They have a counter, and then they have we say LeBron the cheat code. Well, right now Kevin Durant is rewriting the whole program.
Yeah, and really, I don't want to get into – I hate legacy talk, James. I can't stand that kind of crap. I mean, I think LeBron James' legacy is already set, but I'll tell you, there is legitimate frustration inside LeBron James right now. I mean, just last night you watched that press conference. It's really almost like an agitated LeBron, and I don't think his mood gets any better anytime soon, even moving into the future, because as you said, this is a team that's going to need drastic changes if they want to top Golden State at any point in time over the next 3 years, and I don't know how they do it without some other team actually doing them a favor.
Yeah, and even with that, I know that their salary, they're already against the cap, and they're already paying the luxury tax, So there's no way, even if they shed a huge amount of salary, to add another max guy. And that's what they need to do, right? It's not like they just say, hey, we need to swap Love out for somebody else, because then you still have the same kind of problem where you have LeBron and two All-Stars, Kyrie and whoever else they bring in, versus, you know, a four-man core that they just can't overcome. So somehow they got to find a way to add another top-flight player to Kevin Love and Kyrie and LeBron, and it's almost impossible. This is like a Gordian knot. I have no idea how they're going to figure this out. But you can see his attitude and his demeanor right now reminds me a lot of that series they played against the Spurs, where he's playing and he's doing everything he can, but you can see the frustration right at the edge of his countenance.
Yeah, it's definitely a very interesting NBA Finals, to say the least, from the perspective of I don't know what you do to change the outcome, and we have the best player in the world who is really just frustrated. He's just frustrated. I mean, that's the only word I can think of.
I mean, he's almost averaging triple-double, I think, right now, and he's shooting the ball well. and I think the only chance that he really has is to go full 2015 LeBron. And this is the thing. We want to see our heroes go out with guns blazing, even if, you know, it might be in a, like I think like Russell Westbrook did in the round one. Go out shooting if you're going to go out, and that's not how LeBron's built, but I would love to see him just try to go off one game and score every time down the court. I don't think he'll do it, but it'd be fun to see, because this series is on the brink of being not very compelling, right? Like you said, if Golden State wins game three, even if it's a close game, if you're up 3-0, it's all over but the final score, you know?
I think you got to go to the half-court set. Like, if I'm Tyronn Lue, and again, I'm not claiming to know more than Tyronn Lue, but if I'm Tyronn Lue, I force the Warriors into a half-court set the best possible way, and I let LeBron James bully his way around, and I think that's your best chance of winning a game in this series. And I say a game, not the series, a game.
I guess my problem with that is, like, you know, you can try to slow it down if you want to. The Warriors are not going to give you open threes in the half-court set, but they're going to come down. They're going to get threes regardless of the other end. If you slow it down, I think you're still going to, you know, be trading two for three every few possessions. And next thing you know, you're down nine in a slow game, which is a slow death. You know, so I have no clue what Ty Lue can do in the next few days to change this. I think they might need to do a full philosophical change. They need more two-way players, and they need more length all around the perimeter. And they somehow got to get younger. So I don't know how they do that in one offseason. But, I kind of feel, and speaking of the legacy, and you said it. You said it correctly, man. It's like it kind of sucks. There's nothing LeBron can do about this. He played the best series he can. They're still probably going to lose, and somehow it's going to be a knock against him to lose against a team that's historic in nature. So it's not fair. But then when you're talking about the best kind of players ever, we're talking about the top five kind of player. Everything counts, fair or unfair, narrative or not. So it is what it is.
James Ellis, always great to get your insight. I know last year around this time, both of us, I think, were a little bit more optimistic that we would get a fantastic series when we were talking. I don't know if that's the case this go around, but please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Thanks for having me on, man. You can find me on Twitter with a homage to my favorite player of all time, Scottie Pippen. Just it's, you know, spelled kind of the same, but it's pronounced Snotty Drippin. So, you know, you can figure that out on Twitter. B-Ball Breakdown, where we're giving out fresh, original, smart content every day. I've been slacking, but the writers there are smarter than me, so please check bballbreakdown.com. And, I'm also a dormant member of the Almighty Baller Radio Network, and check us out there.
James, it's always fun. I know we'll do it again soon. I appreciate the time.
You the man, baby.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up after this.
Emery Telecom's new E-Fiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emery Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with E-Fiber. Let Emery Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
Hi, I'm Leslie at First Choice Body and Paint. Safe repair, safe to drive.
You're in a vulnerable place after an automobile accident with questions and uncertainty. Let the professional staff at First Choice Body and Paint take care of all your questions and worries and get you and your vehicle back to more important things. They take care of the insurance companies and make sure your vehicle gets repaired right. 398 Main Street, right here in Price, or call them today at 435-637-8330. First Choice Body and Paint. Safe repair, safe to drive.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a class 1 hitch holding a class 3 load, and I just snapped. So now your trailer full of 4-wheelers is going off-roading without you. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem, like me.
For a free quote, call Price Allstate agent Don Manzanares today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Back for one last segment here on this Monday edition of the show, Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I guess we could finish by talking about some NBA basketball. I got to be honest, I'm already gearing up for the draft. I know Jazz fans are probably gearing up for the draft as well. Because right now what's more interesting, and the talk has the NBA been compelling? And I'll be honest, Travis, there were a couple of series in the playoffs that I thought would be entertaining. Like, I thought Toronto, with two All-Stars in the backcourt and Serge Ibaka, would give Cleveland a decent series. I didn't think they'd win. I thought they'd give them a decent series. I thought that San Antonio, with Kawhi Leonard, would give Golden State somewhat of a decent series. The Jazz and Clippers have been the best series of the playoffs.
It's been the most fun, and yeah, that was the best one.
Is the NBA boring because of super teams? And I can't say the NBA is boring. That's wrong to say. Because at least in my eyes, the NBA is not boring. However, there's no suspense in who's going to win. James hit it right on the head. If you're a Golden State Warriors fan, you love the current state of the NBA. That wasn't necessarily the storyline going into the finals. The storyline was, if you love the Golden State Warriors or you loved LeBron James, you loved which way the NBA was moving. And now all of a sudden, it's just not fair. Golden State's too good. Like, that's how the story changes in an instance. Golden State is that good. And because of it, I think everybody else appears average.
Yeah, and Golden State's not going anywhere anytime soon.
They're not.
And Durant said he'll take a pay cut. And if you're those other players on that team, like a David West and a Livingston and an Iguodala, you're going to take less because why would you want to go anywhere else? Why wouldn't you want to stick around and be part of something where they could hit 2, 3, 4 in a row?
I think Klay Thompson is probably the odd man out. I think he's probably the first to leave. But, I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. I mean, we could sit here and talk about Cleveland. They are so far off from being as good as Golden State. And I had two texts during that last segment that said, the series is a long ways from over. It's not.
It's over.
It's especially if Game 3 on Wednesday, if it goes Golden State's way, look, it's a sweep. I think Cleveland gets one. I'm going to give LeBron the benefit of the doubt and say he gets one. We are out of time with this edition of the show. I want to thank James Hollis and, of course, Coach Famalo. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to News Talk, 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL, Price, and translator K259CM Price. Ooh.